We did not go over our memory verse this morning. I'd like us to do that right now. So if you look in your bulletin for the month of November, Romans 12:1, let's say that verse together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Romans 12:1. This afternoon, what we want to do now is to look on ahead to another verse that we would use for the month of December. And that's going to be Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And you don't have that printed in the bulletin, but you might turn to that as we prepare to look at it today. In fact, why don't we say that verse together right now before we get into the actual preaching of the word. We'll be reading more of this in a few moments, but for now, let's read in unison Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. I want you to think for a moment that you are a renter. You do not own property. You don't have a car. You have been ill. Your savings have been depleted by your illness, and you have nothing left. Someone came into your apartment, told the neighbors that you were moving, and put everything in a moving van, and you came home to see bare walls and floors. Someone is upset with you and says, I'm going to sue you for all you've got. What do you say to him? Fine. Take it all. You're going to spend more on a lawyer than you're going to get from me. That maybe pictures in a little way, a little bit, something of what we're looking at this verse. You think of the evil one. You think of the evil one and the charges that he tries to bring against you. Sometimes in your own heart and mind, you dwell on something that you have done in the past. And you're grieved over it. And certainly it's something that ought to grieve you. But you know that you've been forgiven. Or maybe you have a temptation to do something that you know that you shouldn't do. And it's the evil one who is bringing that temptation to you to get you to do something that you should not do. The position that you are in is kind of like being that renter who had absolutely nothing. And you're able to say to the evil one, go ahead. I'm already dead. I have already died. You see, we need to understand our position in Christ and what it means to have died with him. So we're going to look at this passage. I'm going to read beginning with verse 15 on through the end of the chapter, Galatians chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, begins as boldly and as harshly as he does in any letter. You notice if you go back to the first chapter, he says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have all accepted, let him be eternally condemned. He's very strong in dealing with these Galatians because they are continuing to want to go through the works of the flesh in order to have eternal life. They want to be in bondage to the things that they had in the ceremonies of the old covenant, instead of seeing how Christ has fulfilled those and has brought us into everlasting life in Christ. And so he says, beginning with Galatians 2:15, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of his word. May he teach us from it, especially as we think of that 20th verse. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. If you are in Christ, you're dead. That is, the old you is dead. The old you, there's a new way of life now. And you've put aside the past. You've put it aside because it is no longer what is right. It is no longer what you are to do. Your passions and desires are new, because they are passions and desires that are given to you in Christ. You're under new management. These are pictures that are given to us in the Scriptures. Look ahead to Galatians chapter 5. In the 16th verse, we are taught, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And over later on, just after the fruit of the Spirit is outlined, he says, those in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Let's look at what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 6. There he really emphasizes the fact that we are under new management. That is, that we have a different slavery, a different enslavement that is given to us. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And also in the, just across the page to chapter 7, verse 5, for when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. I can hardly imagine what it would have been like for a slave in the South on Emancipation Day. To say you're free. Here, all his life, Massa has been telling him, this is what you have to do. The slave master says, do this. He says, go hoe the corn, and immediately you grab the hoe and head out to the cornfield. Because you know that if you don't do that, you're in trouble. You know that the whip is there. You know the difficulty that there would be in not obeying the slave master. Well, we who belong to Christ, we who are in the world have been slaves to the world, slaves to the evil one. But now we are freed. We have a new master, one who tells us what to do, and we obey him implicitly. Now, imagine you're one of those slaves that's been emancipated, and you happen to be downtown and you see the old slave master. And he says, go hoe the cornfield. What are you going to do? There's probably a natural reaction that says, let me grab the hoe and get going. But then he says, wait a minute. I'm not enslaved to him anymore. I've got a new life. I've got a different life. I don't have to listen to him. And that's the way it is when you and I are tempted to do evil. We have a new slave master. We are enslaved to Christ. And that's, remember, a burden that is light. It's not that burdensome deal that we had under the old slave master. Your old life now is a thing of the past. You no longer go in that direction. You know what the temptations have been. You know how it is that you used to go immediately into those old ways. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6. Beginning with the 9th verse, he says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Past tense. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of our God. There's a change that has taken place. This is what you were. Now, here is what you are in Christ. Now, the world will still have remedies for you to deal with nasty habits. They have their remedies for you. But they are not remedies in which you can say that is what you were. In fact, they will use euphemisms to try to ease what you were. And then they'll say you still are. How often do you hear the word drunkard today? No, it's alcoholic today. And that's thought of as a disease. But Paul uses the word drunkard, for example. And if you go to a meeting to deal with your drunkenness and to say, I'm going to overcome it, you know what they're going to tell you? You're an alcoholic. You were an alcoholic. You are an alcoholic. You always will be an alcoholic. And you just have to avoid it. And that's in contrast to what Christ does for you. You were washed. You were cleansed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Now you are dead to that sin of drunkenness, and you no longer have to obey the old slave master because you have a new slave master in Christ, a slave master for whom it is pleasant to work. You have died. The evil one now cannot charge you. He cannot attempt to charge you and leave you in the depression of guilt. He cannot command you to do what he used to command you to do, and you would automatically respond to do it. Don't accept the charges that he has for you, because Christ has already paid for them, as is made clear by the apostle again, this time in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of the world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? You died to that. You no longer follow that way. And to continue to accept the charge of the evil one, as if he is still your slave master, is to continue in that slavery. You are instead to regard all things as new in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Go ahead. Give me your temptations. I'm already dead. That's what Paul is saying here. But he also says now there's a new life. The life that I now live in the flesh, or live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Your new life is in Christ, in his righteousness. You now live a life of faith rather than a life of works. And it's that life of works that the Galatians were running back to. They weren't getting away from the old slave master. They were coming again to the slave master saying, this is what we have to do, instead of coming to the new one who is Christ. You now have a life of faith rather than a life of works, so that your confidence is not in what you do, but it is in Jesus, in what he did, what he has accomplished, what he has done for you. So that your faith then is grounded in reality. Now, some people would look at this and try to make it a matter of just positive thinking. Okay, let me think positively about this. Let me do things that I'm supposed to do. Let me just say as vociferously as I can, I'm not going to do the old thing, I'm going to do the new thing. But it's much stronger than that. It's grounded in reality. It's grounded in what Christ has done. He himself bore our sins at the cross. He dealt with them. He covered them. He gives you a new life. You know that you are accepted by God, not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done. And you can't say when you get to heaven, I deserve to be here. You can't say, God, you've got to let me in here because of what I have done. But rather you say, I don't deserve at all to be here. But I'm here because of Jesus and what he did for me at the cross. So you have a new life then that is animated by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is given to you, and so Christ dwells in you by his Spirit, who enables you to understand the truth and to live it. We see that in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter in particular, or 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, as he says, here's the Spirit of God who knows the will of God perfectly. And he dwells in us so that as we read and study the Scriptures, we come to an understanding of what those Scriptures teach. And so you're united to Christ in by His Spirit, and thereby we are united to one another by this same Spirit. And so it is the Spirit of God who unifies godly life for us. Okay, so Christ died on the cross. It's His perfect righteousness that delivers me from the power of sin and death, that God looks upon and says, you are holy, you are sinless, because I see you in Christ. Some people have taken this to mean then I do absolutely nothing. Sometimes they're referred to as the higher life people. Their motto is, let go and let God. In other words, I just become a couch potato and expect God to do everything. Certainly, it's His righteousness and His alone that delivers me from the power of sin and death. But it's not for me just to sit there and do absolutely nothing, but rather I live by faith in the Son of God. We are empowered by Christ and His Spirit to obey. Do you find commands in the Scripture for the Holy Spirit, given to the Holy Spirit as to what He's to do? Commands given to Jesus in the Scriptures as to what He's to do in our behalf? The commands are given to us. We are the ones who are commanded to obey. Now, we don't do it by the strength of the flesh, but by the strength of the Spirit, who gives us faith and empowers us to go about the work that He has given us to do. The obligation is still there. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so it's because He lives in me that I am strengthened to obey. I'm able to say no to what the old master said. I'm able to say yes to what Christ has commanded. Remember then your position. Your position in Christ. Let me read the way it's described for you in Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Why do we get into trouble even though we have confessed faith in Christ? It's because we don't set our minds on Him. We toy with the sinful matters. We like those things. We think, well, I'm strong enough. I can handle it. Instead of saying, no, I can't. I must be in Christ. I must set my heart, my mind on Him. You have died, and Christ has raised you up. Your cry then to the Lord is the cry that will deliver from death. Turn with me, please, to the 18th Psalm. Psalm 18, we'll be reading or singing the 18a selection. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. And so we go on to sing of Him as the one who gives us life. But he says, I was encircled by death's ropes, and at destruction's flood I feared. The ropes of Sheol wrapped around me. Before me the snares of death appeared. That's the death that would be brought in by the old slave master. But in my distress I cried for help and begged the Lord my God to hear. He from His temple heard my voice. my cry for help had reached his ear. He delivers us from the old enslavement and gives us life. Psalm 18a, let's sing the fourth.